Welcome to the checkout. Kevin Bradshaw, our local 252G, Memphis, Tennessee, BCT GM, on the picket line, striking Kellogg's. Thanks for making time for us.
All right, no problem. You're welcome. How you doing?
Doing all right today. So, Kevin, tell us what your role is at Kellogg's. Let's start there.
My role at Kellogg's as an employee, I work on back in the warehouse where we actually finish all the making the products and shipping out all over the world. It's called a unitizer, case filler operator. So I've been doing that for about 20 years. So that's my role at Kellogg's. My role with the union, I'm the vice president of our local here. I'm 252G. And I was also the president of our local back in 2013 when we were locked out. So that's my role as a union there.
So you guys are on the picket line at a Kellogg's plant that you work at in Memphis, Tennessee. Tell us, what are the issues here?
The issues here is all about the future of the working person in America here at Kellogg's. It's about reducing the hourly rate, wage. It's about cutting benefits, pensions, retirement, and health care. And that's essential for any working person in America, any working person in the world.
Tell us a bit more about what Kellogg's has done to instigate the strike.
Well, we went into an impasse last year, that's lasted over a year, to talk about things as far as benefits and wages and insurance that were supposedly sustainable for the company and things that are not sustainable. And we pushed back because we wanted to work with the company in good faith, but the things that they're asking for are just outrageous. I mean, they're ridiculous as far as taking someone's pay and cutting it by $13 an hour, making it where there's no way to actually ever maximize or top out in our pay, no way to retire with insurance, healthcare, or pension plan, and just work every day, 7 days a week, 12, 16 hours a day, and never have anything to show for it at the end of your career here at Kellogg. So that's pretty much what we're fighting for, the livelihood of the working American person every day.
How has the COVID-19 pandemic exacerbated some of these working conditions at your plant?
Well, Kellogg's has capitalized off of it like many other companies, and during that time, we risked our lives working 7 days a week, 12, 16 hours a day, just to meet the demands of the cereal business. And, you know, the company's made year-end profits quarter after quarter off us working like that while they sit at home and work from home. And we work here. I mean, I think they reported in one quarter last year or last quarter, they made $380 million in less than 9 months. I mean, and, you know, we didn't receive any type of thank you or whatsoever. We got two $500 bonus checks for being essential and working 7 days, 12, 16 hours a day. And while they got 158% raise across the board and top executives. So, and we've had people that actually died from COVID-19. We had more than over 150 people at one time who've been exposed to COVID-19, who actually caught COVID-19, were home sick with COVID-19. And now you're talking about working, doing the same thing every day, day in, day out, but taking away the healthcare and benefits and insurance of the future employee. And still with a pandemic going on, not just the pandemic, but it just doesn't make sense in any type of world we live in.
So what's at stake for you and your fellow workers with this strike? What are you guys standing for?
Well, what we're standing for is for Kellogg's to continue to treat us the way it was, started out to be fair to employees because of the work we do and the money that we make them. And we just want to keep things where they are to be able to pay people what they deserve to pay them, because what they're asking for is just ludicrous. So we just want to be able to protect the future worker, even though they threw across the table, well, if you guys accept this, it won't have anything to do with you, but everybody coming behind you. And that's another deploy just to be able to undermine the union and get rid of unions if you're going to tell people, hey, well, your union won't agree to this, and now you no longer have health care benefits, insurance, and pension. But you still can come work here for $13 an hour less than what they make. So sooner or later, why would people want to be in a union that sold them out for something as crazy as this? So we're fighting for working class. We're fighting for families. We're fighting for loved ones. We're fighting for America to keep America great with unions. America needs unions. So that's what we're trying to do. We're fighting for all the unions. Our fight is your fight. You know, your fight is our fight. So we're fighting for everyone in the world right now.
Right on. How can folks support you?
You can support us by going to our union page. Go to bctgm.org, and you'll get all the links that you need from that actual one main page of our union, bctgm.org. So they should have every link that I can't remember right now that you can see on bctgm.org.
So should folks skip the Frosted Flakes?
Oh, yeah. They got to go. Leave the cereal in the store. I mean, it's over with, you know? I mean, why would you want to? And then they're threatening to move products to Mexico. If we don't give them what they want, they're saying, well, we're going to have to move to Mexico. No one wants to eat food from another country. We make the lowest cost of cereal in the United States right here in Memphis, Tennessee, along with my three other sister plants in Omaha, Nebraska, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and Battle Creek, Michigan. We are low-cost producers. That's why Kellogg's are in business with us. They talked about the $120,000 that we made a year, but they didn't tell anyone that comes from mandatory daily overtime, 12, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, nonstop. So that's where that money comes from, and we choose to work that way because we're loyal to this company, and we're a dedicated and honorable workforce. So we're fighting for our honor. We're fighting for our families, and we're here to stay one day longer, one day stronger. And they're threatening to bring scabs in to try to replace us. We know during the lockout from 2013, they spent over almost $50 million in 10 months to try to save $8 million with scabs. And we had scabs working in the plant then that actually got reported and tried and convicted and in jail right now for urinating on cereal belts. So, you know, no one wants to eat Rice Krispies. You know what I mean? We want to eat Rice Krispies, not Rice Krispies. So, I mean, let them try whatever they're going to try, but we're not going to give in to their corporate greed. We're here to fight them.
Right on. Kevin Bradshaw, Local 252G, Memphis, Tennessee, BCTGM. Any closing thoughts for our audience at the checkout?
Not right now. We just want to say we appreciate all the support from around here in the local. And I know in Memphis exactly with our different pastors and the religious community, with our other unions, with our Memphis Police Department, Fire Department. We have people on the line right now, like Dr. Earl Fisher, who's a pastor here in the city of Memphis. We have a lot of support from a lot of different organizations. We'd just like to thank everyone for the support. And go to bctgm.org and support your unions. Don't buy anything from Kellogg's right now.
Right on, Kevin. Best of luck out there. We're with you.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Welcome to the checkout, Dan Osborne, president of Local 50G in Omaha, Nebraska, BCTGM. Thanks for making time for us.
Thank you.
So what is your role at BCTGM Local 50G? What is your job as president entail, and what is your job making cereals entail?
Okay, well, my job at Local 50G is I'm the president, as you mentioned. I organized recently. Normally, my role is the business end of the local union. Recently, it's been to organize the strike that's going on right now, and as well as talk to the media and get our message out. At Kellogg's, I'm a mechanic. I've been a mechanic for 18 years. My attendance rate's 99%. I was a dedicated employee, but so that's my role there.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about what instigated the wave of strikes that we're seeing at Kellogg's facilities.
Okay. I want to start with our CEO from 2020 to 2021 has taken a 20% increase in his compensation, as well as the top executives. They've been taking increases. I've only looked back 3 years, but the last 3 years they've been taking increases. So this contract that expired on October 4th, we are currently on a two-tier wage system. 30% are on a lower tier, making $12 less, higher insurance premium, less vacation, lower vacation pay. So what we're all about is we're all about the equalization of wages. We want to bring those 30% up to the higher tier level of workers. The company's proposal was to eliminate that 30% cap and eventually get everybody on that lower tier while the company's making record profits. So we got a problem with that for sure.
What has it been like during COVID-19 for workers in the Kellogg's facilities?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. During COVID, well, leading up to COVID, in 2020 is when actually this contract expired the first time. We worked under an extension of that same contract for a year up until October 2021. Well, in 2019, Kellogg's Omaha, I can't speak to the other three plants, but Kellogg's Omaha did not hire any employees. They shortened our numbers. And then right at midnight, as the contract expired in 2020, 39 employees retired that did not want to retire. They retired under the impression that they were going to lose their insurance on that contract. So in order to keep their insurance, they went ahead and retired. So we lost 39 people there. And then the pandemic hit. So we were already short. And when you're short in my business, it's a 24-hour cycle, 7 days a week, 365 days we run. I mean, there's a couple of days where we shut down to fumigate for bugs, things like that. But normally we're running all the time. We're running full production all the time. So when you have not enough employees, that has to get covered with the employees who are coming to work with, in the form of forced overtime. That's 12 hours a day. I work a 3-7 shift, or I'm sorry, 7-3 shifts. So they can come up to me at 2:59 and tell me I got to work till 7. They can come up to me at 6:59 and tell me I got to be back in at 3 a.m. to cover vacancies. And so everybody in the plant was already working a lot of overtime, and then the pandemic hit. It kind of took a long time to get to your question, sorry. But then the pandemic hit, and at one point in time, we had close to 100 people out, either with COVID or from COVID protocols, contact tracing, that type of thing. And so that only increased the overtime that we were working. And we did not shut the plant down. We continued to run through in the pandemic as frontline workers providing cereal to the nation. And we did so tirelessly. We worked and worked and worked, and Kellogg's continued to make record profits through the pandemic, excuse me. So, you know, we're not asking for wage increases. We're not asking for better benefits. We're just asking for the equalization of the labor there.
What is at stake for the workers at Kellogg's? You know, that if this strike is not successful, if Kellogg's gets their way, you know, what's at stake for you folks?
Well, what's at stake for me is, you know, I just had a full disclosure. I just had a full hip replacement on, I know I'm a little young for that, but I had some damage to my right hip, had a full hip replacement, and my insurance expires. I lose my insurance. I don't go in for x-rays now. I don't go in for medications. My family, Cobra insurance is $2,000 to $3,000 a month. I haven't exactly looked into it, but you know, it's something that I can't afford. That's what it means for me. It means I have to figure out some gainful employment. And if you're hiring, you know, I'll send you my resume. But if you need a mechanic over there, kidding. But yeah, that's what it means. It eventually we're all going to have to go out and find some side hustles and make some money. But we're going to stand fast on the line as long as it takes. We have a lot of good people out there. Everybody's got their families. Everybody got they're bringing the kids out to the line, and we're really trying to gain support. And we've had a huge show of support from our local community here. People bring us food and donations to my website, bctgm50g.com. So yeah, so that's where we're at right now.
I had actually gotten so kind of caught up in your story that I lost my next question. I usually write stuff down.
Yeah, me too.
And only because when you said Cobra, my mind went to when I lost my last job. I had been working at Whole Foods for a while. We went on Cobra and my wife got cancer. We managed to have Cobra cover it, but we had huge healthcare expenses. So
yeah,
it's just something that I related to deeply. But I think what I was going to ask was, there's been a number of campaigns recently. There's been the Frito-Lay stoppage. There were the Nabisco plants. And it seems like part of the issue is that these companies, besides working everybody to death, working these ridiculous shifts, you know, and I worked in retail for many years and wholesale, like I get it. But I think the other concern has been that they're relocating some of these plants. Nabisco closed, I think, at least two plants, laying off over 1,000 of their facility workers. What is the threat with Kellogg's? Are they looking to relocate to other countries? Has that been on the table? Is it a veiled threat?
Yeah, at this point, it was a threat made at negotiations. They said they are prepared to move these production facilities down to Mexico, and they mentioned South America, you know, if we keep up with these ridiculous proposals. And I want to touch on that too, as far as our ridiculous proposals. The main thing that would cost Kellogg's money is, like I said, that equalization of wages within our ranks. That Kellogg's came out in the media and stated that our proposals, and keep in mind this is at face value without being negotiated, would cost the company $60 million. And in 2020, during the negotiations, before we started the extension, there was a Kellogg's executive by the name of Larry Elliott who stated in negotiations that he's willing to spend $10 million a day to keep us out on the street and to get rid of our union, essentially, is what I would think he'd mean by that statement. Well, if he's willing to spend $10 million a day, I'm not a mathematician, but that's 6 days out on the street that if, you know, they did accept our proposals at face value, which, you know, we'd negotiate and meet in the middle. But that's 365 days versus 6 days. And that doesn't make any sense to me. That's who we're dealing with right now. And it's frustrating at a time where it's hard to find employees, at a time where they're making profit. Like I said, the CEO and the executives are all reaping the lion's share. It doesn't make any sense, and I can't wrap my head around the timing. No matter what I do, I keep coming back to the same thing, and it's corporate greed. I know that's a slogan that gets thrown around a lot, but this is what it is. I can't think of anything else.
It seems pretty obvious, and it seemed pretty obvious with these other companies, with Frito-Lay and Nabisco, that there was no rational, reasonable reason for what they're doing other than seeking greater profits at the expense of their workers.
Correct.
So my last question is, how can folks support this campaign? How can, you know, our listeners on the checkout and, you know, folks who will read my Forbes column ensure that, you know, you guys win? What can they do to support you?
Yeah. Well, there's two things. I would say the most important thing would be go online and do a quick Google search. It'd probably take you a couple minutes to figure out what brands Kellogg's has, you know, their fingers in. They have snacks, frozen foods, Pringles. I mean, they're a giant, right? They're a giant corporation. And that would be to, you know, do your part and boycott it. I mean, you walk down the aisle in the grocery store, Kellogg's isn't the only game in town, right? You got other ones. So you don't have, when you're at the store, all you have to do is make a conscious decision to put that box of Apple Jacks back and grab one of the other guys. So that's where it's going to start. The more people that can do that, get behind that cause and understand that these are American jobs. These are American blue collar workers, and they're affecting our communities greatly by trying to eliminate these jobs. Right. I mean, this is all money that we're pumping back into our local economies and taxes and federal taxes. It's all money that's being taken away. So there's that. That would be the first item. The second item would be, to, like I said, go to our website, bctgm50g.com, and you could donate through PayPal. $5, $10, you know, money talks. And what that money, I just got out of a meeting, what that money is, we're going to use that for. We're deciding on, you know, we have people battling cancer out on these picket lines right now. We have people whose families, we have autistic children that need medical attention. So we have to figure out where this money's going to go. This is all new. You know, probably the people who need it the most first. So that would definitely help ease some of our struggles that we're dealing with.
Well, Dan Osborne, President, Local 50G, BCTGM, on strike against Kellogg's, Omaha, Nebraska. Any closing thoughts or information for our listeners?
No, yeah. I think you know, we talked about whether that's an idle threat, but I think in Mondelez at Oreo, didn't Oreo move their production facility?
They did.
down to Mexico.
They did.
So here's the thing. They don't have FDA oversight in Mexico. They don't have OSHA regulations in those plants in Mexico. I don't know what kind of water quality is going in when they make those cookies down there, or if they're gonna move. We have to do. American people have to draw a really hard line in the sand, and we have to do it now. Our food production cannot be made in other countries. It just simply can't be. It's not safe. You know, we have our cars and people's vice grips was here in Nebraska. It went down south and people were like, it's just vice grips, right? No harm, no foul. Well, they ruined it. They ruined an entire town. That town's a ghost town now. And it just has to stop. I mean, where does it end? Right. I mean, I think people really need to start focusing on this issue. There's a lot of issues in this country to focus on, but I think that's one of them that needs to get put on the front burner.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Dan. That was beautiful and articulate, and wish you guys the best of luck over there in Omaha.
Yeah. Hey, thank you. I appreciate your time.
Right on. Stay strong.